That I was going to say, don't people laugh, but we saw people in the terminal with small artificial trees.
Welcome back, everybody, to this week's episode of the DCL Duo podcast. And we are excited to welcome back some prior guests who we did a show with not too long ago in the schedule here about mother-daughter sailing. So I want to start by welcoming Cynthia and Sophie back to the show. We are missing Alex this time around, but we are excited to have Cynthia and Sophie with us. So welcome.
Good morning.
Yes, thank you.
Well, we're going to be talking to the two of you today about your very merry time double dip cruise, first time on, or sorry, back to back that turns it into a double dip. First time on the Dream, completing a Grand Slam, and Alex, who's not with us, but we will try to find a time to record with her because we want to get her firsthand experience at her first time dining in Palos. So we have a lot to talk about, but before we dive into that, do you just want to quickly remind our listening audience out there of your Disney cruising backgrounds?
Sure. The girls and I have been on a number of cruises. These two cruises were our 8th and 9th cruise. We have done all the ships. We've done Mexico. We've done Northern Europe. We've done the entire Caribbean. We've done a cruise out of New York. So we've done just about everything except the transatlantic and the Panama and the Mediterranean. But we've done 3 days all the way up to 11 night cruises.
Nice one. This completed your Grand Slam. Now, do you have a cruise on the Wish booked? I feel like I heard some banter beforehand as I joined, but do you have a cruise on the Wish booked?
Well, we did. Unfortunately, we were in the group of 12 that were canceled. We had back-to-backs scheduled for Sophie's graduation, leaving on June 24th and June 27th. Silver lining is we now have 250% off offers to use before the end of 2023. So we're hoping to at least get a 4-day Wish booked later in the summer and then figure out what to do with the other 50% discount at a later time. And then we have a cruise scheduled for March of 2023 out of New Orleans.
As you said, it's a silver linings, right? I mean, it's a bummer to have the cruise canceled. And we understand that from the same standpoint as, you know, we are booked on the Maiden and the DVC charter, and those have been delayed. But obviously not everybody can do the new dates or make it work in the around the same time frame as when they were originally supposed to sail. But that 50% off is looking pretty good if you're going to maybe switch it up and go to like the Med or something, right?
Yes. Yes. We've kind of poked around a little bit on the website and have some ideas, but we're going to kind of see what everybody's calendars look like this summer.
Well, let's shift gears over to talking about these fabulous back-to-back cruises that that you took on the Dream. Let's start with it's your first time on the Dream. So completing your Grand Slam overall, where did the Dream rank for you in terms of the current fleet?
Okay, so for me, I like the Dream a lot just because the Fantasy is my favorite ship. So inherently, like, I like the Dream, but it wasn't my favorite. I think I still like the Fantasy over it. And I'm not sure if it was like the length we were on it or if it was the actual ship itself. But I noticed that I, like coming off of it, I was like, oh, it was a good ship. It was a great cruise. But I still like the Fantasy better.
Interesting. I have the same feelings as you do, Sophie. I'm not sure if it's because of the length of the cruises, because Fantasy, you know, you're doing 7 nights or occasionally an 11-night cruise, right? Versus a 3- and 4-night. What did you think, Cynthia?
I enjoyed the ship itself because I enjoyed the Fantasy also. I went into it excited to see what the differences between the Fantasy and the Dream might be. I knew they basically were going to be the same size ship, but I was kind of curious what they might do to differentiate between the two. So there were some differences, but not as many as I expected. I think it's a beautiful ship. I like the space and the openness. I love the long hallways. So all that was good for me. I enjoyed it. But to me, it wasn't a big difference from being on the Fantasy. The cruise itself was fabulous.
Let's talk about the cruises themselves then. So you opted for a back-to-back. I'm curious, why do the back-to-back on the Dream as opposed to like a 7-night on the Fantasy? Was it just because you wanted to get the Dream in, or was there something appealing to the back-to-back aspect?
Yeah, for this cruise, the driving factor was we wanted to complete the Grand Slam before the Wish came out. So that was the driving factor. We have done these itineraries before. So we've been to Castaway. We've been in these areas of the Caribbean on a number of occasions. So it wasn't the itinerary. And then a back-to-back, we live on the West Coast. So to go to Orlando for 3 days doesn't make a lot of sense economically and time-wise.
And we're not like a huge Disney World family. So we wouldn't go down for a 3-day cruise and then spend 4 days in Disney World, really. Right.
So it just made that made the most sense, and make it our own 7-day cruise, but get the benefit of being on two cruises.
Which means you also got 2 Castaway Key days, which you would not have gotten on a 7-night cruise on the Fantasy.
Correct. And we had 2 beautiful days at Castaway. We had fabulous weather the entire 7 days, but we had weather-wise on Castaway, it couldn't have been any better.
So Cynthia, how did everyone get down to Orlando for the cruise?
This is the first trip where we didn't all fly together. We met at the Orlando airport because Alex flew down after finals from New Jersey. And we literally, our planes landed at the exact same time. We met in the lobby of the airport and went up to the Hyatt. We stayed, since we got in like at 2 a.m, we had planned to stay at the Hyatt overnight and then go down to Cocoa Beach the next day. We had planned 2 days down at Cocoa Beach before the cruise just so that we could have some time as a family relaxing before we got on the cruise. So we stayed down at the Sheraton in Cocoa Beach and had a great time. And then on Christmas Eve, we were up and moving and getting on the cruise.
Awesome. Let's talk about Cocoa Beach a little bit. So that's some place that Brian and I have not stayed. We always stay either up at Disney World or overnight at the Hyatt. We've done that as well. Tell us about staying at Cocoa Beach, what there was to do. Tell us about the Sheraton that you stayed at.
Yeah, I'll tell you real quickly, then Sophie can give you some more information because her and her dad did a lot of dad and daughter touristy things, whereas Alex and I vegged. We, like I said, we stayed at the Hyatt, and there's a particular car service that we use every time we're down in Orlando that's reliable, inexpensive, and they were there right on time, drove us down, dropped us off at the hotel. The Sheraton is right in the center of Cocoa Beach, right where you walking distance to everything. A block or so off the beach by the pier. So it's a great location. And then it's a 5-minute Uber ride to the port. So we like it because it gets us out of Orlando and a little more relaxed area where we can walk on the beach and that type of stuff. But Sophie and her dad did some fun things.
Not just me and my dad, but we all walked from like our hotel on the beach to the pier. And we had watched the sunset and ate on the pier because they had 3 or 4 restaurants there. So we ate dinner there and then went back to the hotel. And then the next day, me and my dad went to the Space Center.
Oh,
and
cool.
Hung out there for the day.
They were there the whole day.
In Cocoa Beach.
They loved it. They absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So we have not been to Kennedy Space Center, and I know that's a popular destination for people sort of pairing it with the cruise because it is so close. How did you guys like that? Had you ever been there before?
So I had never been there before, and I'm not a big museum person, or I don't have like a huge interest in space. But I was reading on just like the websites for like tourists, like what to do in Cocoa Beach, because we had like, I think it was a full day before the cruise, and I didn't just want to sit in the room. And so we had been on the beach and I saw the launch pads, and I was asking my dad where they, like what they were and everything. And then he started talking about the Space Center. And so we decided that we were going to go. And so it was like a 20-minute ride from where Cocoa Beach was. And so you go into the Space Center, and it's really like, it's not an amusement park, but it does have an amusement park vibe to it. like museum park, like museum amusement park type of thing.
It's a lot of the interactive.
Yeah, I was going to say it was very interactive. When we got there, it really wasn't that busy. I think it's more of an all day thing. And we went there at like 3, which was 2 hours before it closed. People had started to leave because it was the end of the day and they were closing. So there was probably 3 or 4 big attractions.
Like exhibits.
Yes. There was one about like the Hall of Fame of Space, whatever the rocket was, the Endeavor. Not the Endeavor.
Challenger?
The Challenger.
Well, it was space shuttle heavy, I think.
Yes, it was space shuttle heavy. And so we did that and it was actually really fun. If you have a day to spend in Cocoa Beach and you want to do something that you wouldn't get to do anywhere else, I would go because the big museum exhibit they have with the space shuttle, it has the space shuttle in it. And it also talks about the Hubble. It has like a slide. It has a jungle gym. It has like, it has things for kids in it that's very interactive, but it also has all of the actual stuff from the mission and everything. And so it has a little bit for everyone. And my dad's like a museum freak. So we were there until like it closed because he was reading everything. So from a museum person standpoint, it was a good museum. So all in all, I think if you had the time to make a day out of it, I definitely would because it actually helped later yes. on in the cruise because we were doing trivia. And they were asking about the space shuttles and the missions, like the Apollo 13 missions. And I had remembered them talking about it in one of the videos in the exhibits. And I got 2 of the questions right and we ended up winning.
Oh!
Yes. Yeah, so her trip got us Mickey medals. We ended up on a lot of Mickey medals on this cruise. But yeah, we ended up at one of the adult trivia, general knowledge trivias. And yeah, she got us 2 points with her Space museum day.
That's amazing, Sophie.
Yeah. So it was fun. I liked it. I'm not, like I said, crazy to museums, but I would recommend it. It was worth it.
Yeah. Every picture her dad sent me, she was smiling, doing something. So I said, oh, Sophie's having a good time. Yeah.
It was interesting.
And one of the other just interesting things that Sophie did with her dad, that first night when we were walking on the beach, it was sunset. And remember, we're from the west and here we are in the east and the sun is setting, but it's behind us, not going down at the horizon over the ocean like we're used to as we're walking along the coast in Southern California.
So I've spent a lot of time at the beach in my life and I've only ever seen the sun set over the water. I've never seen it rise.
So that's
over the water, like so fully. Funny.
So I told her, now, so remember, it's going to rise over the ocean. So the next morning, her and her dad were up at sunrise. And she said, I got to go see this. And she and went so down to the beach and sat on the beach watching the sunrise over the water.
Yeah. And apparently the pier, I was reading, the Cocoa Beach Pier is one of the best places to take pictures of like sunrise. Because if you can get on the end of the pier, it's like the farthest point out.
Oh, like into the ocean. Cool.
Well, what was it? What was it like getting from where you were staying to the port? Did you use a shuttle or did you rent a car?
We did not rent a car. We used Ubers. And we just make sure we order the larger one so that we could put all the luggage.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
And it's about, it was what, 10 minutes maximum.
Yeah. Especially because when you have early port arrival times, like we did, getting an Uber is not that hard. I think just because Cocoa Beach is a touristy town, but it's also a small town. So there's a lot of Ubers because since it's a tourist town, people that live there are Ubering. So there's a lot of Ubers available. And so as long as you make sure you get an Uber XL, which is like 5 people, it's like enough room for all 4 of us plus all of our luggage. And it took like maybe 5-10 minutes to get to the hotel and 5-10 minutes to drive us to the port.
Yeah, we were.
It's not worth the pain of, we've never found it worth the pain of renting a car or scheduling a limo or anything when Uber's like just really easy.
And it was with the port arrivals now at Port Canaveral, the Uber, they've got a whole area just set up for private vehicle drop off. And that includes Ubers, taxis, and stuff like that. So we were in the port, out of the car, luggage out of the car, no more than 10-15 minutes max.
Did you bring presents with you on board? Because we had some guests on recently who relayed dragging on board all of their Christmas presents for Christmas Day. So I'm curious, did you bring presents on board with you for Christmas Day?
Santa made his way to the cabin with stockings.
Ah, smart. Santa is a very, very smart man.
Yes. So yes.
Or elf. I guess he's kind of, isn't he an elf? I guess he's an elf.
Yeah. He's an elf. Yeah. So he's jolly, jolly old elf. Yeah. And some of the best presents you can get these days fit nicely in a stocking. So, so there you go.
So there was some festivities on Christmas morning. And then I was going to say, don't laugh, but we saw people in the terminal with small artificial trees. And then one family we saw had like a, you know, the cutouts, like a advertising cutout, a heavy styrofoam board. They had a tree that had to have been 6 feet tall and it had all their pictures on it. Like they had put pictures. And so when it cut out, it was a Christmas tree shape, but all their family pictures. And I don't know what they were going to do with it, but they were dragging it through the terminal.
Things you won't see the DCL duo doing. I bought a Hallmark card that was like a 3D pop up that had a Christmas tree, but it was no more than a foot tall, so right. It fit my luggage pretty easily.
And that was to Aulani also.
Yeah, and it flattened. Yeah,
I was gonna say if it doesn't fit in the carry on, it's not gone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of the festivities on board, since you had kind of this, were both of your cruises ended up being maritime, or did, because the first cruise was over Christmas, by the time you got to the end of it, were they taking decorations off?
Oh, yeah. So we got off the first one on the 27th and it got right back on. And in the 2 hours or so we were off the ship, it went from maritime Christmas to regular. And I actually have a picture that I took, you know, on the observation deck in Port Canaveral, where you can go out by the concierge area of the terminal and kind of look at the ship and see the loading going on, that little deck area. I went out there and actually have a picture of the dock right by the ship with all the Christmas decorations lined up, all broken down, packed up. And
it was fast.
The gingerbread house was coming down probably the night before. So yeah, there was no sign of Christmas when we got back on. And when we did the back-to-back turnaround, it was less than a couple hours. And we went from a fully decorated ship to not a single decoration when we got back on.
Well, were you able to squeeze in a good amount of the very maritime activities on the first cruise then? And what kinds of things did you do?
Yeah, I mean, the ship was beautifully decorated. So everywhere you went was maritime Christmas. Christmas trees at the restaurants, all over the atrium. They had a holiday Christmas dinner menu, Christmas night. That was the same menu in all the dining rooms. All the characters were in their Christmas finest, Christmas music playing. They had, I remember seeing on the app, some of the activities for Christmas Day were Christmas related. Like, I think there was like a gingerbread cookie decorating, things like that. So there was it was Christmas themed everywhere, but in your face that everything you have to do is Christmas. If you wanted to participate, you could, but at least you got the atmosphere.
So at Aulani on Christmas Day, you know, they had Santa the day before and he was doing photos and stuff. Did they get Santa on board for you? That was something we missed on our very maritime cruise.
Well, I saw him in passing, but we didn't get a picture with him. This was over Thanksgiving.
Yes, yes. The Santa was there, a very, very jolly, happy Santa. And he was in the atrium taking pictures.
Christmas morning.
So a lot of people were out in Christmas pajamas.
So were we.
So there were, people were out taking Christmas morning pictures of Santa. And it was in the area of the atrium and he was up on the steps. And you know, you could stand on the rise right before the steps and take pictures. So yeah, so... there were some rumblings from people that they didn't have enough time with Santa. It was early in the morning. He was only out for an hour or so, and it was just once during the day. We were lucky and out and about, and we got pictures.
I mean, Santa's got to go pack his sleigh. He can't stay on the ship all day. So,
can't stay on the ship all day, you know.
He's got stuff to do. He's got presents to deliver.
And we did notice at breakfast on Christmas, everybody was in pajamas. All the kids were running around in their pajamas. And so it was kind of fun. It was, you know, it was fun.
Was there anything I'll say extra special going on board on Christmas Day, on the holiday itself, to mark the holiday? Or was it pretty much a normal day at sea?
So, yeah, I mean, from how I'm remembering it, there was nothing like crazy special. They had Christmas like themed activities, but it was like usual activities that they would already be doing, just like Christmas themed.
And then they had the maritime fireworks.
But like, that's kind of it. There wasn't anything.
Yeah. So the fireworks were the same fireworks show, the same length. It wasn't a longer show, but the background music was Christmas music. So they did that. And then the cast members were all walking around with the Christmas scarves on and Santa hats and Christmas lights around, you know, necklaces. And so they were, like Sophie said, they kind of everything, nothing really out of the ordinary in terms of activity, but there was Christmas theming throughout.
Did they do any Christmas themed trivia?
Don't remember.
Not that I went to.
No, I don't remember there being Christmas.
I don't think so.
They did all the regular trivia, like Disney movie, Disney song, Marvel, Pixar. But I don't remember a specific Christmas one.
Now, you said that you guys had actually won some trivia, not just this. It sounds like maybe more than one.
Yeah, I think we won 4 medals this trip between the group. Yeah, we did. It was a good haul. We the first one was... I got up and made a fool of myself at a game show.
Oh, yeah.
The generation game. So I got a medal for participating in that. Alex won general Disney trivia one. You know, the one where they everything is multiple choice now. So it's one where they give you just multiple choice Disney movie questions. She won that one. We won as a group, we won the general knowledge one.
General.
Yeah, general pub knowledge.
Which is interesting because apparently pub trivia is like, the hardest trivia on the ship.
And we did really, really well on that one. Alex was the only one in the group that was able to say what the acronym SHIELD meant. So she got that one. She spouted that one off.
Strategic Homeland Intervention, something in Logistics Division, right?
Yeah,
something like that. And this is the second time she's knowing that on a Disney cruise has been beneficial for her. So yeah, so we won 4. And the last one Alex and I won was, again, a general Disney movie one. And it was kind of fun. It was special because it was towards the end of the cruise and Alex and I were in the D lounge doing this trivia. And in front of us, closer to the stage area, was a mom and dad and a young girl and a young boy. And I'd say the girl was about 5, 6, something like that. And she was doing her best on the trivia. And she was getting really frustrated because you could tell when she didn't get one right, because she'd kind of pound her fist on the table or hit her forehead. Like, she was just trying so hard. Her mom was trying to tell her, it's okay, it's okay. So Alex and I won, and they gave us our medals. And I went up to the girl's dad and I said, has she won a medal on this cruise yet? And he said, no. So I gave mine to her and I said, God, I could, you know, I saw where you were doing so well and you knew so many of the questions. You deserve this. And she had the biggest smile on her face and she put it on. And I ran into her a couple more times that afternoon, still had her medal on, and she had the biggest, she would wave at me with this big smile on her face. So that was fun.
You made someone else's pixie dust magic.
Yes. Cynthia. And her mother was
so. How awesome is that?
Her mother was so excited. She says, oh, thank you so much. I could just imagine as a mother having, you know, to deal with the child's despair. And I should have won it. But anyway.
Well, we need to take a quick pause in the action here to thank our amazing sponsors over at Touring Plans. We use Touring Plans Travel to book our own Disney vacations and just love, love, love our Touring Plans Travel specialist. She waits on hold when we don't have time. She monitors cruise deals for us and rebooks to get us lower rates on some of the cruise lines that actually, where the prices actually do go down, like Disney Cruise Line. So she does watch those rates for us and rebook. She steers us toward cruises we would like and room categories and gives us suggestions. And so while we have our preferences, she's always there and available to help us out. And when we plan a parks vacation, it's just gotten so complicated of late with all the new Genie technology and everything. Like, I need to rely on someone who really understands what's going on, and she absolutely helps us there as well. So we love the folks over at Touring Plans. What we love most is that the philosophy of Touring Plans aligns with the philosophy of our own podcast. We're not out to sell you a Disney vacation. We're not travel agents ourselves. And so we just like to give our honest opinions and reviews. And I think you'll find the folks over at Touring Plans will also give you their honest opinions and reviews of different sailings and ships and steer you toward the thing that they think is the best for your family. So remember, you don't pay anything extra to use a travel agent, especially when booking Disney vacations. Disney pays the travel agent at the time you travel. You're leaving money on the table if you don't use a travel agent. You're certainly leaving expertise on the table if you don't. So we highly recommend the folks over at Touring Plans. Head over there, check them out, touringplans.com/travel. Let them know the DCL Duo sent you to help support the show. And with that, back to our episode. Well, I guess the other thing we got to know about sailing on Christmas Day is dinner and the menu at dinner time. Now, were you in Main Dining for dinner on Christmas Day, or did you decide to live it up and head to Palo?
No, we did Christmas Eve brunch at Palo, and then we had dinner for the second cruise. So, and I purposely didn't schedule anything for Christmas because I wanted to eat as a family on Christmas night. We were in Enchanted Gardens on Christmas night.
And what's on the Christmas menu?
They had as Sophie is making funny faces. Nothing that Sophie liked. They had
I think that was the night I had a grilled cheese.
They made her grilled cheese and tomato soup that night. She loved it. There was a turkey option, honey glazed ham option, pork roast option, and I think there was a prime rib option. Plus there's a fish and pasta and stuff like that. But the main entrees were ham, turkey, and the prime roast. Mm-hmm. And then they had stuffing and Brussels sprouts and mashed potatoes. And then desserts were things like apple pie holiday. So they did. It was a very good menu. We enjoyed it.
I think it's either identical or almost identical to the Thanksgiving menu, actually, from what you're describing.
That would make sense.
It sounds like it's, I mean, exactly like you said, it makes sense. It's the same kinds of foods, ham, turkey, rib roast, that kind of thing. And then for dessert, you got to have like an apple pie option. There was like a peanut butter and chocolate pie option.
Exactly.
You know,
Right. I believe that's the exact same menu with a Christmas. I always order a paper menu because I like to remember. That gives me an idea of what the menus were each day after the fact if I want. And I just remember Christmas holiday menu. It was holiday heavy, Thanksgiving holiday, but it had a really nice Christmas cover to it. So I could see where they could just print it in a Christmas cover versus a Thanksgiving cover. I'll let Sophie tell you this story about another thing we tried for the first time, and it was so much fun. And that was in the dining room on our second cruise for dessert that one night.
Oh, yeah.
And not people don't know you could do this. So we're telling people you could do this.
Right? I had never been to Vanellope's. And I wanted to go. So one night before dinner, we went up there to go look what they had. So then after dinner, I was going to go up and get dessert. And while we were in there looking, they told us that we could pick out what we wanted for dessert and like pay for it. And they would call, the servers would call them and say like family blah, blah, blah is ready for their dessert. And the people from Vanellope's bring it down to the servers. So you can get dessert from Vanellope's. Like anything from Vanellope's in dessert in the main dining room, you just have to get it prior.
So
to dinner.
Sophie and I actually went up. We had started dinner, and I said, "Sophie, come with me. Let's go try this," because I had heard you could do this. So we went up, and there's a nice young woman working in Vanellope's at the time. I said, "Hey, can we order and have it delivered to Royal Court?" That's where we were. She said, "Absolutely." So we picked out a selection of cupcakes and just probably 8 or 9 things just to try. And she said, "What dining room?" And we told her, and she said, "What table number?" We gave her the table number, and then she gave me a card, like a little business card, but it was Vanellope's, had her name and her telephone number. She said, "Give this to your server, and he'll call when it's time to serve dessert." So we gave it to our server, and we went back, and we didn't tell my husband or Alex. We just went, and we sat down, and then we gave it to our server, and as it was time for dessert, the same ladies from Vanellope's comes down with a beautifully decorated platter with confetti all over it and writing and all these little desserts placed, and sits it on the table, and everybody's clapping and ooing and awing. And yeah, it was great. It was a lot of, and she said you can do it with anything. So like, you know, they have the
ice cream.
The ice cream, you can put like the 15 scoop gelato special, and they'll bring it right down. They'll bring it down to your table. It's a lot of fun.
That's
you should
amazing.
Try it.
I love that idea. And I mean, who doesn't love ice cream? And there's not a lot of ice cream choices on the menu in Main Dining. It's just your kind of typical vanilla and chocolate or whatever the sundae is of the day.
But that was fun. It was a nice little touch. And then we had some leftovers. They boxed up for us and we took back to the room.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I've heard about that. That's a great tip though to remind folks of that you can do that. And you can order it any time during the day, I believe. I mean, if you want to order it in the middle of the afternoon and say it's for dinner tonight, they will hold the order for you. I mean, not hold it, they'll make the order for your ice cream is your table of soup. But yeah, no, that's a great tip. So Sophie, I know we're going to lose you at some point in the middle of the show, but I wanted to ask specifically about your experience on these two cruises. What did you do? Were you in the vibe category of cruiser this time, or did you try to hit up the 1820 Society? I can't remember where your birthday sort of fell here, but curious what your experience was like cruising on board. Is, you know, the last episode we did was about you kind of growing up with Disney Cruise Line, and so reaching the end of that journey as you get into the adulthood stage here. And so I'm just curious what you did around the cruise ship.
So I'm still 17. My birthday's in March, so this was my last cruise that I was going to be in the vibe category. So the first part of the cruise, I was in vibe and I met a few people, but I noticed on the 3 and 4 day that there were not a lot of kids my age, like 16, 17. There was a lot of younger kids. And so I didn't meet like a huge group of people, but I met some from the 3 day cruise. And that was kind of my 3 day. I didn't really see them much because I was hanging out with the friends I had met. But on the 4 day, I didn't really go into vibe that much because on the first day, there was like, I didn't really meet. I met a few people on the first day, but it wasn't
her crowd.
Yeah,
this time.
It wasn't my crowd this time, which was actually an interesting experience, but it was fun. I got both, which is interesting because I had a bunch of friends on the first cruise and I kind of branched out and did more with my family on the second cruise. So it was like a good balance of both.
If we had her for trivia.
Yeah.
We had her to win trivia. So I think for Sophie, she's run the course for the kids clubs.
Definitely. Well, I mean, I can't. It's the end of an era now because by the next cruise we'll be on, I'll be 18.
But she's ready to experience things like Palo and the 18 to 20.
Palo and stuff like that.
We're so proud of her.
you're gonna love Palo. So I welcome to the Palo Club real soon.
Let me tell you while she's sitting here, our quick Palo story. We're jumping ahead a little bit, but the second cruise we did dinner at Palo. Before dinner, no, it would have been, we had that on the second cruise, but while at the end of our 3 day cruise, we were talking to our regular servers, who, by the way, were our servers for the second cruise. So we had our servers for 7 days, which was great. We were talking to them and they asked if we were going to do Palo for dinner. We said, yes. We have talked about our 11 day cruise and we had great servers, and we showed them a picture that I had on my phone of the two women who were our servers on the 11 day. And one is a lady whose name is Vanessa. And they said, oh, that's Vanessa. She serves now in Palo and she's on the ship. You ought to request her for your server. So I said, okay. So when we got back on the ship for the 4 day, we went up to Palo and we asked if we could have her as our server. And they said, if we switch your dining time around a little bit, then you can, because she's booked up for the late seating. So we switched to the early. When we went up to go to dinner, called her out to greet us. And it was me, Alex, and Joe. And Joe had not gone on the 11 day. So it was just Alex and myself from the 11 day. And she came out and she looks the same. And she was so excited. She says, I remember you guys. You were table 42. And we were.
Oh, my goodness.
And how she remembered we were table 42, I don't know. Because we never said anything about we were table 42. And we had such a great experience. And she spent a lot of time getting us up to date on her and her family and the other server who she still is in good contact with or close contact with. And so when we were done with dinner, you know, she was asking about Sophie. We were showing her pictures of Sophie. So after dinner, we ran down and we got Sophie and brought her back
up to
Meridian, to the bar. So and she came out and she was so excited to see her. And she's grown. And so it was a lot of fun. And it was a very nice experience.
Yeah.
That's awesome. These are some of the special, I think, Disney touches, but also just when you have a great server, you really do develop a relationship with them, you know, even on other cruise lines. I'm sure that's true.
Well, our servers this cruise were great because they, since they were on the back to back with us, they had gotten kind of not close with us, but we were one of the only tables that they were seeing for 7 days instead of 3 and 4 days. And so by the end of it, they had known that my parents and my sister were going to Palo on
the last night.
On the last night for dinner, so I was gonna eat alone. And so
it was Animators.
We were at Animators Palo and we had been making jokes about the fact that they were like leaving me alone the whole cruise. And so when I got to dinner, I walked in And I went to where the table was and I looked around and I was like, wait, which table is it? And I looked to my left and it was the table with a 4-person table, but one place setting.
They had completely set their whole table.
Everything else off except my stuff.
And they thought it was so funny that they were, we set the table just for you, Sophie.
It was just one. And then when they brought bread out, they only brought like 3 pieces of each. Like it was just one of each bread. I was like,
they took care of her. She sent us a picture of it. It's like this big table with one plate, one cup. But we went down. We went down and sat with her.
I looked at him and I was like, oh, that's funny. You're like, that's so funny. It was like, it is.
They thought it was hysterical. They were just laughing, having a great time.
Yeah. So the one thing we haven't talked about yet is shows. And I bring this up because you've got a different marquee show, or as I would label it, a different marquee show on The Dream. Tell us, what shows did you get to see on The Dream?
Beauty and the Beast was
exactly
the show. Yes,
exactly. What I'm talking about.
It was it was great. I don't think Sophie saw it. Sophie did.
I have a funny story about it, actually.
I saw it the first day by myself, and then Alex and Sophie went the second day.
Yeah, so I had wanted, my sister had wanted me to go with her to Beauty and the Beast because she wanted to see it again, but she didn't think my mom wanted to go with. So it wasn't even the second day. They had thrown in a random showing of Beauty and the Beast kind of in the schedule on one of the, I think it was the C day on the second cruise. And so they had thrown it in and I hadn't seen it yet. And I had said that I wanted to. And the only other time was the showing that was scheduled for that later that night. But they had Palo. So the only time that I was going to be able to see it was this random showing that they put in the middle of the day in one, like on a C day. So my sister and I went, and there weren't that many people in this show. It felt very last minute, kind of. But the show itself was great. The Be Our Guest sequence, the theatrics itself and everything, the costumes were, it was all great. In my brain, it was great. We got out and my sister looked at me and she goes, I think that was a dress rehearsal with the understudies. And I was like, what are you talking about? That was great. I loved it. And she was like, it wasn't the original thing. It wasn't the original cast from the first one. And it didn't have as many theatrics and technicalities on it. But I'm sitting there like, I thought it was great. I did not understand how she noticed that it was like an understudy performance.
It sounds like they maybe were bringing on a new cast, getting them ready. But Sam, you're going to have to delve into that with Alex, figure out what it is that she saw.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, she may have seen some of the understudies, but it may also have been, you know, they do a big transition of cast members. And I had heard that they do one right around Christmas time. And so it is very possible that what she was seeing was the new theater cast that had just come on, and that they were doing it was a real show, right? It was probably 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
And my sister wasn't saying it was bad. The people, the cast, the understudies, and all of it was great. It just wasn't the same, which I think is interesting how it wasn't the same, but both times it was still really good.
And when I saw it, so I was standing in line and there's a couple, older couple in front of me. We started chatting. I asked them if they were sailing by themselves and they said yes. But we're going to see our daughter. I said, oh, what's your daughter doing? She said, oh, she's Mrs. Potts.
Oh, my goodness.
So I said, Mrs. Potts in this showing today? She says, yes, she'll be on this show today. So they were spending their Christmas with their daughter on board, but there to watch her perform as Mrs. Potts.
Did you see Golden Mickey's or?
No, nope. Wish.
No, the wish, wish one. No, it the one.
The one with the magic.
The magic.
Dreams or dreams. Believe?
Believe.
We
saw that and we've seen that a number of times.
I was going to say, I've seen that 3 times.
It hasn't changed.
It's always been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Believe is the one with the genie with we like to call it the old man in the flower.
No, yes. It's not as bad as the Pinocchio one.
Yeah. The Pinocchio's. Yeah. I remember the Pinocchio one.
That one's Dreams. Yeah. Although Dreams has been, I think, revived a little bit. So I think they've updated it.
And so Believe and Beauty and the Beast were the only two shows, stage shows. Then they had, you know, the movies and stuff.
Castaway Cay? How was Castaway Cay? Did you manage to dock both days? There were some heavy winds recently, but I don't know what it was like for your sailing.
We had zero weather issues the entire trip. I think the weather the entire time was in the 70s with no humidity. So no rain, no nothing. So
yoga on the beach.
Yeah, Sophie did yoga on the beach one day. The second time I think we were in Castaway. Yeah, so we would get off. We didn't race to get off at 8:30 in the morning. We were making
Vegging this cruise. I don't know what it was, but we were sleeping until like 10.
Yeah, we did not get up and get moving. My husband, who normally is up and moving, we 9 o'clock, we'd look at each other and say, "Yeah, we'll get moving here in a little bit." But so we were getting off the ship closer to 10:30, 11.
But it was almost better with the whole virtual queue thing, because by the time we were ready to get off, there wasn't one. You could just go off. You didn't have to get into any virtual.
And we would we found place. We were on the family beach. Yeah, we stayed at the family beach both times, only because the crowds were so small that you had even the family beach, you could have a whole area to yourself. We went over to Serenity Bay for a little while and kind of just walked around, but we spent the bulk of our time in the family beach area, and we ate at the barbecue there instead of Cookies 2 over by Serenity. So we did just a lot of walking around, taking pictures, sleeping on the beach. You know, it was like Sophie said, this was a veg trip. It was great. Nice. But we did shopping on Castaway. We normally don't do that, but Alex found it something she wanted. Sophie found something she wanted. And yeah, it was just...
It was nice having 2 days there.
Really nice having 2 days. But we just lounged on the lounge chairs and soaked in the sun and watched people go by.
Well, sounds like you guys had a fabulous time on these back-to-back sailings. But I think we've reached that point in the show, Sam, where I'm going to throw it over to you for a little rapid fire. So you want to take it away?
Yeah. So I know we had you guys on pretty recently and we asked you a lot of your favorites, but I'm going to switch it up a little bit. One, to see if some of those favorites have changed now that you have been on the Dream, but also to ask you some specific favorites from this particular sailing, or these two particular sailings. So let's start out with your favorite onboard show. So let's start there. Sophie, what was your favorite stage show now?
I would say Beauty and the Beast, just because before this, I hadn't watched any other stage shows besides Believe and Dream, because I never got around to seeing Aladdin or anything. So Beauty and the Beast, I know. And Beauty and the Beast is my favorite.
Yeah.
Stage Cynthia? Show.
Definitely. I think seeing Beauty and the Beast, I put that as number one over Frozen now. So I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed this production.
All right. Favorite activity that you guys did on board on this cruise?
I think we just in general, the trivia, because we did so many different ones and we were so very successful.
My favorite was the game shows, especially the one, what is it?
Oh, Match Your Mate.
Match Your Mate. The game shows were really good on both cruises and the D-Lounge and everything.
Yeah, Sophie got a good chuckle out of Match Your Mate.
What was your favorite menu item, an appetizer or a main? And I'll ask the separate question for dessert on this cruise.
I love the French onion soup. That's one of my favorites.
My favorite appetizer is always going to be the heirloom tomato soup or the baked brie bites. And my favorite entree from this cruise, at least, was, I don't remember what it was. It was like ginger wasabi teriyaki steak or something like that.
Oh, yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. And it comes with like a wasabi mashed potato. Yeah,
yeah,
yes.
It was Animators.
What was your favorite dessert, Sophie?
My favorite was one of the, from Vanellope's. They had marshmallow, like, wands that were marshmallows dipped in chocolate, and we got those when we went up there, and I went back and got them again because they were good.
And then mine I tried, and I don't remember what restaurant it was, but the lemon
oh yeah
the lemon ice box pie.
I think
that's in Animators, I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
yeah, That was the first time I tried that, and that was really good.
Cool. Yeah, that's one of Brian's favorites. All right, favorite space on this ship. So what space did you love on the Dream? Cynthia, let's start with you.
I spent a lot of time in Cove Cafe area this trip. I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm not a coffee drinker, mm-hmm. but the girls are. But I could get something from Cabana's or just another type of drink.
They also have all of the pastries at Cove Cafe.
Yeah, the pastries are good. But I just love the atmosphere was for this particular trip. And I think it all goes back that this was a very veg trip for us. And so there were just times I'm just going to sit in Cove Cafe and read a book or whatever. And that was fine. How about you, Soph?
Am I allowed to say somewhere that I couldn't spend time in, but I thought it was like a really cool place in addition?
Yeah, of course.
They had when we were walking around on the first day, we were walking back in all the clubs and pub and area and everything. And they had a champagne tasting room. And it was just very pink and very pretty and girly. And I just like the atmosphere. It was a very good
So that explains why vibe. We had to walk through that area every time we had to. Yeah. Yes. No wonder we walked through there so many times with her.
It was so pretty on the inside.
Yeah, you know what the name of that place is?
Pop Champagne Room.
No, it's called Pink.
Oh, see, that makes sense. I thought it was called Pop.
Yep. Yeah, that's why when you described it as pink. Yep. It's pink. Exactly. Well, my last question for this rapid fire round is one I asked you before, but I'm going to ask it again because now you've hit your grand slam. You have been on all four Disney ships that are currently sailing. What is your favorite ship and has it changed, Sophie?
My favorite ship has not changed. It is still the Fantasy. Although I did like the Dream and everything that was on it, I think for me, it's always going to be the length of the cruises. And so I think the Fantasy is just always going to be my favorite.
Until the Wish comes out, at least.
Until the Wish comes out, yeah, right.
Mine has not changed. I still love the Wonder, the classic ship.
And West Coast, right? Lot of West Coast sailings. It's easy to jump on the Wonder from the West Coast.
Well, it sounds like you had a fabulous cruise, and we really appreciate you coming back on to share the experience with us. Can't wait to catch up with Alex to hear her thoughts on Palo and the shows. So thanks for coming on once again to share all of your fabulous Disney cruising experience, and we'll hope to have you back in the future.
You're welcome and enjoy your upcoming trips.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Well, we hope you enjoyed a little look back at a Christmas time cruise from this past year. A little Christmas in May. I know it's usually Christmas in July, but hey, we're bringing it to you in May. So hope you enjoyed that little look back, a little holiday cheer as we head into the spring and summer months. Really enjoyed having Cynthia and Sophie on. Hope to have them back on again soon. Hope to have any of you out there interested on the show to talk about your cruising. So reach out and let us know. We'd love to have you on. With that, the 5-star reviews do keep coming in. So I have another one to read on the air this week. It is from DCL Family. Jeez, I didn't know we left ourselves our own review. I'm kidding. It reads A+. Thank you both for giving the listeners so much to listen to. I also appreciate that your podcast gives the most trip reports. I love that as it lets us know firsthand how the experience is going, changing on board. Definitely prefer your show when it comes to DCL. Thanks. Well, thank you. And we really appreciate you listening and leaving us the feedback. We love to get those reviews. So thank you so much for leaving a review. And we hope to see you out there sailing again soon. With that, I do just want to thank each and every one of you out there for listening this week. Please remember to subscribe to the podcast so you can keep getting great content from the DCL duo each week. Please also head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. We really appreciate the reviews, love connecting with our listeners, and love reading them on the air each and every week. You can also head over to youtube.com/DCLduo for even more great content. So head over there and check that out, or browse over to dclduo.com to find all the great content from the DCL duo in one place and ways to connect with us on social media and elsewhere. If you'd like to send us a question or be a guest on the show, please email us at dclduo@gmail.com or reach out to us on social media at dclduo. You can also head over to the DCL Duo vlog and podcast Facebook group if you'd like to join a conversation with some like-minded DCL Duo fans and cruisers like yourself. If you'd like to help support the show, you can always browse to patreon.com/DCLduo and join from one of our monthly support tiers. We really do appreciate each and every one of our Patreons out there for helping us to defray the cost of this show each and every month. You can also support the show by browsing to touringplans.com/travel to book your next fabulous Disney vacation. Just please let them know that DCL Duo sent you. The DCL Duo podcast podcast is not affiliated with Disney Cruise Line, the Disney Company, or the Disney family of theme parks. The views expressed on the show are solely those of the individuals on the podcast and in no way reflect the views of the Disney Company or Disney Cruise Line. If you have questions about a Disney cruise or Disney vacation, please contact Disney directly or your own travel agent. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time for another fabulous Disney adventure with the DCL duo. Good night.